Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we go into your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to be with us. Open our hearts and minds, Father, so that we can receive the truth, the strength and the power of your word, Heavenly Father, so that we can be better equipped to walk through this life as you would want us to walk. And as we walk, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. We thank you, Father, this morning for the Lord Jesus and for Holy Spirit. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 9th chapter of Romans. Now, we're going to be dealing here with the Jew and the gospel. Starting out, and not too many different subjects, I don't think. But this chapter is actually 33 verses. Some of them are pretty short. Now here in verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now this is Paul letting us all know how he is standing and that he's not lying. What about us? Can we really say that we are standing with a good conscience and that we don't lie and that we are sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with others? Now, verse 2. Then I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, why has he got this sorrow in his heart? Well, we're going to find out here. Here in verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed for Christ, or for my brother, my kinsman, according to the flesh. He is sorry for a lot of his brothers. And those that are his kinsmen according to the flesh. In other words, his family. Evidently, most of Paul's family are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 4. Now, in my footnotes for that verse 3, on my kinsmen according to the faith, expresses Paul's sorrow for Israel. The question he now undertakes concerns the privilege and subsequent spiritual blindness of the Jewish nation. It is a natural question following chapter 8. Has the promise of God failed Israel? And could his promise fail in our case? And then 2. His family. Because you see, he was raised in school as a Pharisee. And this is what's got him sorrow for now. 4. Who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promise? Now 5. Who are the fathers and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all? God blessed forever. Amen. We know Paul recites Israel's privileges bestowed because of their relationship to God. They are all Israelites. And the name solemnly bestowed upon Jacob by God. The adoption with the definite article may look at a peculiar event when Moses was instructed to stand before Pharaoh and tell him that Israel was God's son. And the glory refers to the glory cloud that led Israel from Egypt to Israel. And the covenant refers to Israel, four great unconditional that govern all that God will do for and with Israel. The Abrahamic covenant, the nation forever, the Palestinian covenant, defined in Deuteronomy 30, a land forever, and the Davidic covenant, a king forever, and the new covenant, a redeemed people forever. And the giving of the law refers to Sinai. The service of God refers to the offering priesthood and Levitical institution. The promises refer particularly to the Messianic promise and the fathers refer to the Old Testament patriarchs and leaders, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, and so on. Christ is their national fruit. Humanly, he came from Israel. God less forever. It's probably not a tautology, but rather a spontaneous and explicit assertion of Christ's deity. Now, as we go on here, in 6, not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel. 7. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, that is they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. In 9, for this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. 11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand not of works, but of them that calls. Now, that these children had been promised. 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the young. Well, we've studied about that before, and we will be studying about that a little later. Now, 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, you know, this love and hate are not matters of emotion. They are matters of Father's will. And the ancient singular writings dating to biblical times, the expressions love and hate are used for a man who could afford to adopt only one of two twins or boys. He was said to have loved the one he adopted and hated the one he did not adopt. Here, all that is signified is that Jacob was blessed and Esau was not. We know about the selling of one's, or the trading of one's supper for his actual birthday. Now, 14. What shall I say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion or compassion. Now, he will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that understandeth, but of God that showeth mercy. God showeth mercy. Now 17. For the scripture saith unto Thabor, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Well, who has resisted his will? Does not all this land to fatalism? Paul does not answer this question directly, for it is absurd and raised by one who is ignorant of the righteous character of the infinite God and the finite character of man. Paul rather deals with the heart attitude that would produce such a question and reminds man of his limited understanding of the unlimited and sovereign God. Now, 20. Nay, but O man, who art that rebelleth against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? And we know this is going on all around us. And how many times have you yourself asked, Lord, why did you make me like this? Why am I this way, Lord? I know I did. And I'd say most of us have. More than know why. We were made like we were made. Until we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to understand who he really is. And as we grow in the Word and grow closer to our Heavenly Father, then we can begin to understand a lot of things that we have not understood before. Now, we've all resisted his will at one time or another in our life. Because, you see, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's been a time in everyone's life where they have resisted God's will. And they walked in sin. And we do that until we go to the Lord and repent. And then that is done a lot of times, not in honesty, not in truth. And it doesn't mean anything because the one that did it went right back into the darkness of sin. This happens so much now. And it's happening more today than here, especially here in our land, than it has ever happened before. 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that rebelleth against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? 21. Has not the Father power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? 22. What if God willing, to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. The glory is to be recipient of God's righteousness and heaven. Now 24. Even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Now, Paul is beginning now to speak not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, because that is actually what he was called to do and to be. He was to be the apostle to the Gentile people. Now, 25. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And again here, Paul is talking and letting you and I know this change that is coming is going to be including the Gentile people, which will be bringing us into the family of Almighty God, just the same as the Jews. Now, as the old saying used to be, we've been adopted into the Jewish family. No, we have been brought into the family of Almighty God. Now, because God is no respecter of persons, it's whether or not you will heed and walk in the Spirit and in his word, living the way that God has for you to live and doing the things that he calls upon you to do. Now, it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. 27. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, through the number of the children of Israel be as the sands of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Just a remnant shall be saved. 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. You see, the Lord's time is not the same as our time. The day with him is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. That you and I, we may think things are a long time, but it's not to God. And he knows exactly when we are ready to receive what he has for us or what he has for us to do. These are things, he knows things we don't know. He even of ourselves. He knows those that will do what is asked of them, and those that will not want to do it willingly. And those also that just won't do it. Now, And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. And we all know what happened to them, don't we? He burnt their cities. Now, you know, Paul documents his teaching by quoting Hosea and showing that the Old Testament teaches that vessels of mercy are to be found among the Gentiles. In Isaiah, to show that the Old Testament prophesied that only a remnant of Israel would be saved. And again in Isaiah, to show the conclusion of the whole matter, this anticipates the subsequent discussion in chapter 11. Now, it's going to be just down the road when we get into that. Now, 30. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? All that's in this book. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to the righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? And yes, that's exactly what they did. And when Paul first went to them, they greeted him with open arms. And they with multitudes accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. While yet his own, the Jewish people, was rejecting not only the Lord Jesus, but all himself even. They imprisoned him, beat him, stoned him. And all. But the Gentiles didn't do that. You see, God knew that the Gentiles would accept Paul and would treat him even better. And he sent him to them. Now, 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not obtained to the law of righteousness. You see, they haven't lived. Yes, they were under the law, but they wasn't living. That's why Christ came. And he came to fulfill that law. 32. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And they sought it not by faith. He's talking about there. Israel mistook the possession of the law as a means of righteousness. 33. when the law was given only to confirm the fall and to show the need of God's righteousness. And he was a stumbling stone to them. This is a reference to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. They've become a stumbling stone to them. And we know the truth of that because they are the ones that crucified him and took him, helped to take him out of this earth. Now, 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We let them know. Right there. Paul is still using these words, a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And he's letting them know that whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And when you do become a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not ashamed to admit it. You're not ashamed to stand there and stand up. Think about that. We have come to the end of chapter 9. And we're going to be stopping here. But God willing, this evening, we're beginning into chapter 10. And some more good stuff. All of the Word of God is good. But there's some of it that we have read and forgotten. Some that we had actually rejected ourselves because we didn't understand it. And that's why we have this study, is to bring it all out again and to give God a chance to talk to each and every one that will listen and participate in the study of His Word. And not many wants to do that. They don't want to take the time to listen to the Word of God. They want the things of this world more than to use time and listen to the Word of God. You'd be surprised how many find all kinds of excuses not to listen. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, before the Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for peace for them. But more than that, Father, I pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land in which we live, Father, it is filled with so much evil because of those that are filled with evil, that are sitting in high place of power in our government, that has brought a lot of this evil things upon mankind here in our land. I pray, Father, that they be removed from office and replaced by those that serve you and love you and love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves this land, and will work with us to bring repentance to this land so it can be healed and to help us to put are done back upon the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for those that are in my heart and that does listen to the word, Father, and that loves you. Father, Kenny Power, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy and Tom and Jacob, Bobby and Billy, my wife, Father, Karen, Sue, Daryl and Debbie, and myself, and all of our families, Father, our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. May the Holy Spirit work within our families, Father, because we all have family members that are walking in darkness. And I pray, Father, for them to be brought from that darkness to the light, knowing that they need the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they accept Him and begin their change of their life so that they can have life everlasting with the Lord Jesus Christ, with heaven as being their home. My Father, keep us all through this day in health, in safety, and bring us together again at 6 p.m. this evening, Father, back into your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. All, I pray you have a good day. And I ask you to walk with God, and He'll walk with you. Have a good day.